This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, April 30th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start with the NBA playoffs. We'll get to all the NHL playoffs. We'll get to the Major League Baseball, a couple of other miscellaneous things. But in the NBA yesterday, one of the greatest comebacks, in fact, tied for the largest deficit going into the fourth quarter comeback in the history of the NBA since the shot clock era, and that was the Clippers in Memphis to play the Grizzlies. They can only manage 39 first half points. They're down 58-39 at the half. They go down 27 in the third quarter. They go down 24 with 9 minutes and 11 seconds left in the game. And then miraculously, it was a borderline miracle, they go on a 28-3 run to end the game and come back to beat the Grizzlies. Clippers 99, Grizzlies 98. And you got to wonder, look, I thought the Clippers mid-season were an NBA championship contender. Obviously, they don't even have the home court advantage against the Grizzlies. But I do think between Griffin and Paul, they have two superstars. I think Griffin is a superstar. You're hearing people starting to criticize him a little now, but I think he's a legit, not just a human highlight film, but a superstar. And, of course, Chris Paul is Chris Paul. But the Clippers in that game lose Caron Butler, and Caron Butler is a very important player to them. That might really hurt them. But they have a miracle victory, and that's the only way you can sum it up yesterday, as they come back on the road, down 27 in the third quarter, down 24 with 9 minutes and 11 seconds left in the game. Think about that. Memphis gets outscored 35-13 in the final quarter, 28-3 to close out the game. Clippers 99, Grizzlies 98. One of the greatest comebacks, arguably the greatest comeback in the history of the playoffs. Now, Nick Young has really helped the Clippers off the bench, 6-for-9, 19 points. He's the high scorer. Griffin, 17.7 rebounds. Chris Paul, 14 points, 11 rebounds. Butler had 12 points before he got hurt. But I think he's a big loss. You know, not a lot of people talk about Caron Butler, but he's a good player and a big loss to this Clipper team. For Memphis, shell-shocked, can they come back? I mean, look, they have a very good team. Rudy Gay, 19 points, 7 rebounds. Conley, the point guard, 17 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Gasol, 14 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. And O.J. Mayo off the bench with 17 points. But not enough. Zach Randolph with a very bad game for Memphis, 3-for-13 from the floor, only 6 points. Yes, 8 rebounds, but only 6 points. So I think Memphis is in trouble, but I think the Butler injury might be the great equalizer. A lot of people pick Memphis to win this series. I pick the Clippers. But you got to worry about what they're going to be without Caron Butler, who pretty much is their third option. Although, again, Nick Young now, he hit 3 threes in 1 minute yesterday. Give that a little thought. 3-for-4 from three-point land, 4-for-4 from the foul line, 6-for-9 from the field, 19 points, 2 rebounds for Nick Young. So he's a big pickup for the Clippers. I still think they can win this series, but Butler with a broken hand doesn't look like he's going to be back. And we'll get into the other injuries, of course, especially Derrick Rose. I do want to go through the 3 other games from yesterday, though, before we get to Saturday and the injuries. Celtics go down to Atlanta to play the Hawks. And, you know, this is interesting. The Celtics won their division, but the Hawks had a 1-game better record. So the Hawks get home court advantage. And might that be important down the road? Yeah, it might be. The Hawks yesterday beat the Celtics 83-74. No Ray Allen. He's got a bad right ankle. But I think worse for Boston now, no Rajon Rondo. Rondo had a good game yesterday, 20 points, 11 assists. But late in the game, on what I thought was a tie-up on the ground. You know, usually when two guys hit the ground, The call is usually a jump ball. But for whatever reason, yesterday the call was a foul against the Celtics. Rondo protested, got a tee, and then bumped the ref and, of course, got ejected. I think that's an automatic one-game suspension. People were talking about it today, but I think if you bump a ref and get ejected, I think that's an automatic at least one-game suspension. We'll have to see. No word from the league yet. But if they have no Rondo, no Ray Allen, and on the road for game two, well, that's going to be a big problem for the Celtics. Obviously, they had Rondo played 43 minutes, so they had a lot of problems scoring the basketball. 35 points in the first half for the Celtics. They went 18 in the first quarter, 17 in the second, 18 in the third, 21 in the fourth. Now, the Hawks were up 31-18 after one and just kind of played pretty much even the rest of the game to win 83-74. But for the Atlanta Hawks, Josh Smith, 22 points, 18 rebounds. He's a monster. Teague, 15.6 rebounds. Kirk Heinrich getting the start, 12.4 rebounds. Joe Johnson, only 11 points, only 3 for 15 from the field, but he did have 4 rebounds and 5 assists. Now think about that. Joe Johnson shoots 3 for 15, scores 11 points, and Atlanta beats the Celtics by 9. So give Atlanta credit. I certainly picked the Celtics to win this series. I didn't think Rondo would I don't want to say he lost his mind, but you got to be intelligent enough. Rondo, after the game, said he deserved the first tee, but he kind of slipped or tripped and lost his balance, and that's how he bumped into the ref. You got to stay away from refs. I mean, all he has to do is feel a little bump, and that's what he felt, and poof, Rondo's gone and probably suspended for at least one game. So the Hawks go up 1-0. They beat the Celtics. Hawks 83, Celtics 74. The Hawks with the home court advantage. Nuggets go out to Los Angeles to play the Lakers. Nobody really gives Denver a shot in this matchup, and neither do I. Lakers go up 27-14 after one and coast to a 103-88 victory. Kobe's Kobe, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Ramon Sessions, I think, doing a good job at the point, certainly an upgrade from Derek Fisher. Yeah, they lose a little in leadership, but they gain a lot in quickness. 14 points, 5 assists for Sessions. Pau Gasol, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks. Give him credit for an all-around game. Ebanks, who's come on strongly, 12 points, 5 rebounds. And Bynum, what can you say about Bynum? He had a monster game. I think the star of the game, only 10 points, but he shoots 5 for 7 from the field. He has 13 rebounds, and he has an astounding 10 blocks. And I think that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the season. You're not going to see these guys going to the basket. When you see a guy like Bynum with a triple-double, that includes 10 blocks. You don't usually see that. I think that ties the all-time NBA playoff record. But again, always understand when you hear things about blocks that they didn't have that. They didn't keep that stat when guys like Russell and Chamberlain played. So Bynum might have tied the all-time record. I think they said it was Mark Eaton. Remember Mark Eaton, the big 7'4 center with the beard from played for Utah? He had the all-time record. But the all-time record, I think, only goes back to the late 70s, maybe the early 80s. They just didn't. You got to think Russell had 10 blocks in the game or more a number of times. You got to think Chamberlain must have blocked 10 shots in the game. You always got to be wary when you talk about all-time records. So it's probably more realistically, the record for the last 30 years as opposed to the all-time NBA record. But give Bynum credit. I think he's grown up a lot. Yeah, he takes ill-advised threes once in a while. But, again, 10 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 5 for 7 from the floor. Can't be much more efficient than that. And Kobe's Kobe with 31. For Denver, again, we've talked about it since they made the Carmelo trade last year. They have a lot of good players, but they don't have any superstars. And George Karl might like coaching this team, but he's not winning the championship with this team. Gallinari, a very good player, a tough matchup, 7 for 14 from the field, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. But after that, it was, Andre Miller off the bench with 12 points, 8 rebounds, Brewer with 11 off the bench, Al Harrington with 10 points and 5 rebounds, and Farid, the great rebounder, with 10 points and 8 rebounds. But they just don't have, Aflalo shoots 3 for 11 for 9 points. Lawson shoots 3 for 11 for 7 points. What are you going to do? Where's it going to come from? So the Lakers go up 1-0 in what should be really, I don't want to say non-competitive, but certainly not a tough series for the Lakers, who go up 1-0. Lakers 103, Nuggets 88. And finally, the fourth game yesterday, again, another series that I don't really think is going to be much of a series. The Spurs at home bury the Jazz 106-91. Tony Parker, 28 points, 8 assists, been playing at an MVP level, you can argue, all year. Tim Duncan found the fountain of youth the last 6 weeks of the season, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Jackson off the bench with 14. You know, what can you say? Ginobili, only 7 points, only 3 for 10, but he has a not good game for Ginobili, and still the Spurs win easily. Spurs 106, Jazz 91 to go up 1-0. I want to go back to Saturday briefly. And you know the big injury for Chicago. You know the debate. Should Rose have been in there when they were up like 10 or 12 in the final minutes of the game? You know, Tom Thibodeau, the coach of the year last year, who Doug Collins classily said is the coach of the year this year. Of course, Collins coaching the 76ers against the Bulls in the playoffs. He's not going to criticize a fellow coach. You know, should Rose have been out? Well, Rose has been injured, and he's had a lot of injuries. Does he need to play his way back into shape? Apparently, he sat out the beginning of the fourth quarter. But, you know, a 10-point game in the NBA, that's not a lot, especially with the three-point shot. But in any event, Rose gets hurt, tears his ACL, done for the playoffs, will probably miss the first few months of next year as well. Rose did have 23 points and 9 assists to lead the Bulls as they beat Philadelphia 103-91. And the Bulls probably have enough firepower to win that series, but the notion that they were going to win the NBA championship with a Rose who's been hurt on and off and still no second scorer who walked through the door, you know, could it be Rip Hamilton? Could it be Boozer? Could it be Dang? You know, it could be a lot of guys, but could it be Kyle Korver, who was my selection to be the second scorer? Well, none of those guys has really stepped forward as a consistent, I'll say, 18 to 20 point a game scorer. So now I think the Bulls will win this series, but no Rose, no championship, just like I tell you with Dallas. Even though they made a run and almost beat the Thunder, no Tyson Chandler, no J.J. Barea for Dallas, no championship for Dallas. Dallas is what they used to be before they won the championship. Bulls 103, 76ers 91. The Heat hammer the Knicks in what can only be called an embarrassment. The Heat 100, the Knicks 67. LeBron James 32 points. What can you say? He played out of his mind. You know, J.R. Smith led the Knicks with 17. Big problem for the Knicks, you know, that Iman Shumpert, who is an excellent defender, one of the best on-the-ball defenders in the NBA as a rookie. Not one of the best rookie defenders, one of the best defenders, period, in the NBA. Shumpert tears his ACL. Now, obviously, he's not Derrick Rose for the Knicks, but that's a big loss. Tyson Chandler played with the flu, shouldn't have been out there. The Heat bury the Knicks 100-67. They go up 1-0, just like the Bulls went up 1-0. A couple of other games Saturday. A very exciting game, Oklahoma City against Dallas, back and forth down the stretch. Durant takes a shot that goes in with 1.5 seconds left. And you probably saw the shot hit the front of the rim, went up in the air, hit the backboard, went into the basket. Gives Oklahoma City the win. Oklahoma City 99, Dallas 98. Westbrook led Oklahoma City with 28 points and 5 assists. Harden did play after getting that vicious elbow with Artest. Of course, the Lakers don't have Artest pretty much for the first round. For the Mavericks, Nowitzki. He had 25 points, but it was not enough. Oklahoma City 99, Dallas 98. I think Dallas can cause Oklahoma City some problems, obviously, but I think Oklahoma City is going to move on. And again, this is kind of a chalk pick, but I still like Miami and Oklahoma City from the beginning of the year, even though they both had their problems in the second half of the year, especially Miami on the road. But now the coast is pretty much clear for Miami to get through the East with no Derrick Rose. Oklahoma City 99, Mavericks 98, Oklahoma City up 1-0 in games. And the final game, the Magic, to me, stunned the Pacers on the road. The Magic, no Dwight Howard. They, you know, crawled to the finish line to hold on to the number 6 seed to play the Pacers and not have to play the Heat. But they beat the Pacers on the road in Game 1, Magic 81, Pacers 77. Give them a lot of credit. Jason Richardson with 17 points. Davis with 13 rebounds for the Magic. You know, they're going to have to get scoring from somewhere, but it looks like they played great defense. I didn't see much of this game, but they held the Pacers to 77 points. West led the Pacers with 19. Hibbert, who had a ton of blocks early, had 13 rebounds, but it wasn't enough. The Magic steal home court advantage from the Pacers, 81-77. Those were all your NBA scores. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new, but you've got to promise to keep it a secret. I don't want this to get back to my customers at the spa.
Now I've got to know. Come on, tell me.
I found this skin cream called Esotique that's simply amazing for my dark circles, brown spots, and wrinkles. All my customers are asking me what I'm doing for my skin, so I just tell them I had plastic surgery. If they find out about Esotique, they're going to stop coming to my spa.
Esotique will tackle your dark circles, wrinkles, and age spots, leaving you with young and radiant skin. The results will astonish you. Call now for your risk-free supply of Esotique. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854. Say goodbye to dark circles, age spots, and wrinkles. Supplies of Esotique are limited, so call now. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508. 800-926-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the NHL and the Major League Baseball in a minute. I did want to talk for a minute or two on the passing of Bill Mouskouren. Now, you got to be an old-timer to remember Skourin, but he was one of those quiet stars, one of those, not Mickey Mantle, not Yogi Berra, but one of those steady day-to-day ball players who was a huge part of the Yankee dynasty in the late 50s through the early 60s. Skourin was the first baseman, wore number 14, hit 300 five times for the Yankees, made the All-Star team every year from 57 through 61. And, of course, during that time, the Yankees beat the Braves in 58. They lost that seven-game World Series to the Pirates in 60 on the Mazeroski home run. Then, you know, some consider the greatest team ever, 1961. As he used to say in 61, Mantle, Maris, and me, Bill Skourin, we combined for 143 homers. Maris, of course, hit 61, and Mantle hit 54, but Skourin hit 28 that year. He was third on the list on the Yankee team. But a really entertaining guy, a very good baseball player. The stat I like the best that nobody ever talks about in the history of the World Series, you know, I hate to see it when they combine World Series home runs and now in the modern era postseason home runs. First, of course, where they had division starting in 69, then they added the wild card. So now guys, you know, guys nowadays have lots of chances to hit home runs. But back when Skourin played, you really only could hit a World Series home run. Obviously, there were no playoffs. He retired in 67. But Skourin is tied for seventh on the all-time list of World Series home runs. Skourin played in eight different World Series, seven with the Yankees, one with the Dodgers, and he hit eight home runs. And that ties him for seventh on the list with two guys named Joe DiMaggio and Frank Robinson. Now, everybody on that list except for Skourin is in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but he was an excellent baseball player, certainly overshadowed, not surprisingly, by a lot of the Yankees, like Mantle, like Maris when he was there, like Whitey Ford, like Yogi Berra. But he was a key component of those great teams in the late 50s and early 60s. And the list for all-time World Series home runs, and you know everybody on it, Mantle with 18, Ruth with 15, Yogi Berra with 12, Duke Snyder of the Brooklyn and later Los Angeles Dodgers with 11, Gehrig, Lou Gehrig and Reggie Jackson tied for fifth with 10, and then again tied for seventh with eight World Series home runs, Joe DiMaggio, Frank Robinson, Moose Skourin. Skourin was also an entertaining guy, on the lot with Mike Francesa in New York, was sick lately, passed away 81 from lung cancer and complications from cancer. But an entertaining guy, an excellent baseball player, and again, one of those, You know, I've talked and gotten a lot of grief at times for being a proponent of the Yankees having their names on the back of their jerseys. And the reason I say that, and I've written, would Derek Jeter be any less of a Yankee? Would he be any less Derek Jeter if it said J-E-T-E-R on the back of his jersey? The reason I think that's important is because now, when people today, I'll say under the age of 30 or even 35, when people see the Yankees from the 60s, they know Berra is 8. They know Mantle is 7. They probably know Maris is 9. They know Whitey Ford is 16. But after that, you miss great players like Bill Skowron, number 14, or Bobby Richardson, number 1, or Tony Kubek, number 10. They know, or Elston Howard, even, number 32. They don't know any of these guys. And when you watch old films of these games, I'll go back to even like the 20s and 30s. I mean, I don't – you know Ruth is 3, you know Gehrig is 4, and after that, I don't know anybody by looking at their number. I've said before, 50 years from now, they'll look at a guy like Tino Martinez, Scott Brosius, all these guys who were big parts of some of those World Series, the 5 World Series the Yankees won. Especially the 4 between 96 and 2000. You're not going to know who they are. So from a historical perspective, I think it would help the Yankees if they had their names on the back. Scourin's one of those guys who will be forgotten. 50 years from now, people aren't going to know who Paul O'Neill was. They're not going to look at films of Yankee games and say, oh yeah, that's Paul O'Neill. They'll look at number 2 and say, that's Derek Jeter. And the interesting thing is there's not a lot of those Yankees. They'll look at 42 and say that's Mariano Rivera. But will they know Mike Mussina? Will they know Andy Pettit? I'm not sure. Will they know Jorge Posada? And that's my complaint. Skowron is one of those guys from the late 50s through the 60s who I think will be forgotten from a historical perspective. Having said that, an excellent baseball player. He'll be missed. A very entertaining guy. And interestingly, he played in his final World Series after playing for the Yankees in the World Series in 55, 56, 57, 58, 60, 61, and 62. After playing in all of those World Series, he was traded to the Dodgers for the 63 season and proceeded to hit a home run against the Yankees and hit 385 in that 1963 sweep. The Dodgers swept the Yankees. And Bill Skowron, to the day he died, said he didn't like it. He didn't like playing against the Yankees. He didn't like hitting a home run against the Yankees. He didn't like sweeping the Yankees. The man hit 385 in the World Series against the Yankees that year, 5-for-13 with a home run and 3 RBIs. So Skowron, till the end, he did play till 67. He hung around a few more years with the White Sox. But Bill Skowron, dead at the age of 81, an excellent baseball player, an excellent Yankee, and a very entertaining guy. He'll be missed on a number of levels. Want to switch now to the NHL. The NHL, as you know, down to their final 8. We'll do the games first from yesterday. The Devils go to Philadelphia to play the Flyers. As you know, I picked the Flyers early in the season to win the Stanley Cup because I thought Brizgalov would be a big pickup. And he's been hot and cold, mostly cold. Yesterday, he gives up a soft goal late, but the Flyers come back. You know, the Flyers won the first series not because of goaltending, although Brizgalov was very good in the final game against the Penguins, a 5-1 win. They won because something happened to Fleury, and Philadelphia scored goals like there was no goaltender in the net sometimes. But yesterday, down in Philly, the Devils go to Philly. The game goes to overtime. Philadelphia in overtime gets the win, Philly 4, New Jersey 3. Zach Parise actually gave the Devils and Martin Brodeur a 1-0 lead, but Danny Briere scored his 6th of the playoffs in the second period, and James Van Riemsdyk, a very good player, scored his 1st of the playoffs. Imagine all those goals they scored against Pittsburgh, and Van Riemsdyk didn't get any. He gives them a 2-1 lead. Travis Zajac gets his 4th late in the second period to tie up the game. In the 3rd, Claude Giroux, who might be the MVP if Philly does go all the way, scored his 7th of the playoffs. And then Peter Sikora tied it up with about 9 minutes left. 3-3, they go into overtime. In the overtime, Danny Briere scored a goal, but it was ruled that he kicked it in. And then about 90 seconds later, he scored again, a legit slap shot now from inside the blue line. Briere scores his seventh of the goal of the playoffs at 4:36 of overtime from Voracek and Matt Carl. Philly 4, New Jersey 3. Philly takes the lead 1-0 in overtime down in Philadelphia. Nashville in Phoenix, viewed to be a battle of goaltenders. Pekka Rinne for Nashville. Smith has been unconscious for Phoenix. But yesterday, with Phoenix up 1-0, it becomes a goal scorer's day in Phoenix. But Phoenix does get the win over Nashville. Phoenix 5, Nashville 3. Phoenix takes the lead 2-0. Martin Hanzel had a big goal, as did Verbata, early in the second period to give Phoenix a 3-1 lead. Hornquist made it 3-2 with his first of the playoffs. Taylor Piatt scored his third to make it 4-2, and although in the third period Nashville made it 4-3 on Ryan Suter's first of the playoffs, Shane Doan gets a goal less than 3 minutes later to pretty much end the game. Phoenix 5, Nashville 3, 39 shots on goal for Phoenix as they peppered Pekka Rinne, and Phoenix takes a 2-0 lead in that best of seven. Phoenix, with the home ice advantage, wins their two at home. Just going back to Saturday briefly, there were two games there. The Rangers at home at the Garden beat the Capitals 3-1. Rangers got on the board first. Artem Anisimov comes around with the wraparound to score. Jason Chimera scores with 4 seconds left in the second period to tie up the game. But then it became the Chris Kreider show. Kreider, as you know, the rookie from Boston College, 6'3", 6'4", can skate like the wind. 3 weeks ago was playing in the NCAA championship game, leading Boston College to that. Now he's been a huge addition to the Rangers. And this is the kid, you'll recall, they didn't want to give up to get Rick Nash. And it looks certainly like a good move that they didn't, because this kid's going to be a star. Yesterday, Kreider gets a beautiful lead pass from Derek Stepan, goes in on a semi-breakaway, has a clear slap shot from maybe 35 feet out, beats Holtby to Holtby's left, right side of the net, a huge goal, put them up 2-1. And then later in the period, just 90 seconds later, gives Brad Richards a beautiful pass from the corner, flips the puck over two guys to Richards, who walks in all alone on Holtby, somehow finds a spot between his legs in the five hole. Richards scores his third of the playoffs. Kreider was his second. And the Rangers behind Henrik Lundqvist, Rangers 3, Washington 1. Now, the Rangers only had 14 shots on goal, but the Capitals only had 18 shots on goal. And you like the matchup, although Holtby played well in round one. Obviously, you like the matchup if you're a Ranger fan. The King, Henrik Lundqvist, who not only is a finalist for the Vezina Trophy for best goalie, he's now a finalist for the Hart Trophy as well. I don't think he's going to be Malkin. We talked about that on Friday. But just the fact that he's a finalist tells you what kind of year he has. I'll always go back to Marty Biron, who has now not been mentioned for weeks in New York, but his ability to give the Rangers good goaltending and give Henrik Lundqvist a lot of rest is one of the differences, I think, between the Lundqvist of this year and Lundqvist of years past. Lundqvist of years past, in my mind, going back to when Sweden won the Olympic gold medal and he was essentially out there a week later than most of the other NHL players and played more games than any of the NHL players, or virtually any of the NHL players. Obviously, the guys on Sweden played just as many. But Lundqvist now well-rested, played very well in the first round, played very well against the Capitals. Rangers 3, Capitals 1. Rangers lead that series 1-0. We'll get into the TV a little later. But you certainly have to like the Rangers' chances against the Washington Capitals. One other game on Saturday, Los Angeles with another hot goalie, Jonathan Quick. They go to St. Louis. They beat the Blues. Los Angeles 3, St. Louis 1. Of course, Los Angeles took out top seed Vancouver. Now they're playing second seed St. Louis. A lot of people like this Kings team, but they do have an excellent goalie in Jonathan Quick, and you know how it works in the playoffs. I'll say it again. The goalie, the hot goalie in the playoffs, is like trotting out your number one starter in baseball every game. And obviously that doesn't happen in baseball, but guess what? It happens in the NHL. You trot out your hot goalie, your top goalie, your Lundqvist, your Quick. You trot them out every game, and that's why, in my mind, the goalie is the most important player in sports in the playoffs. People will argue quarterback. People will argue starting pitcher. But I think it's the goaltender. Los Angeles 3, St. Louis 1 on Saturday. Voinov gets his first. Matt Green gets his first. And Dustin Penner gets his second of the playoffs for the Kings. David Backus scored his second to give St. Louis a 1-0 lead. But the Kings come back with 3 unanswered. Kings 3, St. Louis Blues 1. Kings lead that series 1-0. Both teams with 29 shots on goal. Quick out duels Elliott, who is, of course, a good goalie as well for the St. Louis Blues. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Men, do you know that your testosterone starts declining at 30 and keeps falling every year? Losing testosterone can lead to stress, mood swings, a negative outlook on life, and not to mention decreased sexual desire. That's why we created T-Gen to naturally help boost testosterone levels. T-Gen contains an ingredient proven to significantly increase healthy testosterone levels. So let's face it, as we age, it's harder and harder to keep up with the active lifestyle that we once had. But with T-Gen, it will be easier to relive those moments. So don't let aging be an excuse for a decreased sex drive and performance. And reclaim your zest for life today by calling 1-800-489-9266. For a risk-free supply, call 1-800-489-9266. And when combined with exercise, you'll gain muscle and lose fat. So start the changes today. Call 1-800-489-9266. 1-800-489-9266.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keebler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com.
Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
TH121 is the world's first antioxidant-based anti-aging weight loss formula proven to provide dramatic results with absolutely no side effects. No jitters, no racing heart, no staying awake all night. This unique combination of antioxidants and natural metabolism enhancers create a powerful appetite suppressant that turns each cell in your body into little fat and sugar-burning factories. Call now and receive a free 30-day supply of TH121 free with your order. And that's not all. If you're one of the first 150 callers, you'll receive fitness celebrity John Basedow's newest DVD and Chamonix's amazing 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream absolutely free with your order. It's an $80 value. Now you don't have to choose between living longer or looking better. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204. Get a free 30-day supply, one free DVD, and a free 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream just by ordering right now. Results guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join- join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic.
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Just wanted to give you, make sure I gave them all to you, the four scores of the four series left in hockey. The Rangers lead the Capitals 1-0. Rangers with home ice advantage for Game 2. Flyers lead the Devils 1-0. Flyers with home ice advantage for Game 2. Coyotes lead the Predators 2-0. And the Kings beat the Blues in St. Louis Game 1 of that series 1-0. Those are the four remaining series, the final eight, if you will, the Elite Eight in the NHL. I have an interesting email with multiple questions from Robert Reitman in New York, so we'll just take them one at a time. I don't want to read them all. They're all over the place. Steve, one, is Chris Paul a gamer? Groin pull and begs to play and then leads a hellacious comeback. Can Memphis come back from this tremendous loss at home? Well, yes, Chris Paul is a gamer, and if you heard him after, he actually seemed a little aggravated. You know, Vinny Del Negro took him out of the game, beginning of the fourth quarter. Thought he was going to put him on the bench for the rest of the game. He begged to come back in. They actually asked, to the coach's credit, they asked him after the game how long was it going to be till he was going to throw in the towel. They were down again, 24 with 9 minutes and 11 seconds left. He said another minute or so, to his credit. But he put Chris Paul back in the game, and Paul led a stunning comeback again, arguably the greatest comeback in the history of the NBA. Because when they put up the stat, down 21 after three quarters, and that ties for the largest deficit ever in the playoffs in the shot clock era from 1954-55. You have to understand, they went down another 3 points. They were down 21 when the fourth quarter started. They were down 24 with 9:11 left. So I think that's the greatest comeback ever. Can Memphis come back? Well, I guess Memphis can come back, but I picked the Clippers to win the series before the series started ever. Now, I think the Memphis comeback will be helped tremendously by the fact that Caron Butler isn't going to play the rest of the series. I don't think he's going to play. He apparently has a broken hand. If he comes back, obviously that'll be a big plus for the Clippers, but I don't think he will. So do I think Memphis can win the series? Well, yeah, they can, but I still like the Clippers. I liked them before this game. I liked them before the series. I liked them before Butler broke his hand, and I would still pick them now. They're up 1-0, and they've stolen home court advantage from the Memphis Grizzlies. Number two, who do you like in today's Manchester v. Manchester match? Now, I'm a Manchester United fan. They call them the Yankees of soccer. But the big match today is Manchester United versus Manchester City. And if you know anything about soccer, you know that Old Trafford is like Yankee Stadium, where Manchester U plays their home matches. So Manchester United has a 3-point lead over Manchester City for first place in the English Premier League. If Manchester United can win, they'll have a 6-point lead with 2 games to go. Obviously, if Manchester City wins, they'll be tied with 2 games to go. But the interesting thing is Manchester City gave Manchester United, I think, their worst loss ever at home. They beat them 6-1 earlier in the year. So I like Manchester United. I can't say I will watch this. I think it's on 2:30 this afternoon. We'll talk about that when we do the TV later. And again, we don't talk a lot about soccer, but this is at least the regular season game of the year this year in the English Premier League, considered by most to be like the greatest league in the world. Number three, Bruce Chen attempts 10 pickoffs during one at bat. Can you think of any reason why this would be a good strategy? In your opinion, how many throws to first base is enough? Am I correct these throws are not included in pitch count? You are correct, Robert. These throws are not included in pitch count. 10 pickoff attempts, hard to really find a justification for that. I know sometimes pitchers will throw over to first, obviously, to keep the runner close, but other times they'll just lob it over to kind of get their head together. They're not quite ready to throw a pitch to the plate. I don't understand the reason for 10, because that has to, in my opinion, affect your ability as a pitcher to then throw to the plate and throw a strike. So I'm not clear why he would throw 10 times, but how many throws to first is enough? Can't really say what the number is. If a guy takes a gigantic lead and you think you can get them, it could be 4, 5, 6 pitches. If you think they're going to hit and run or lay down a bunt, that could be a reason for throwing over the first a number of times. But 10 times, that strikes me as a little strange. Now, people have complained for years about pitchers and their ability to lengthen games by doing things like stepping off the rubber or throwing over the first. And, you know, you think maybe they would institute a rule. I'm not really one to institute a rule to speed up the game by not allowing pickoff throws. Some people have said, oh, yeah, maximum of 2, maximum of 3. I think that's kind of ridiculous. But certainly when you get to 8, 9, 10 throws over the first base, that just strikes me as borderline ridiculous. Want to get now to Major. Thanks for the email, Robert. Want to get to Major League Baseball now. Obviously, a ton of games over the weekend. We'll start in the American League, and we'll start, believe it or not, with the first place. Yes, first place, Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles under Buck Showalter. I've said it for years. I don't know why Buck took that job. I think the Orioles are in the wrong division with not just the Yankees and Tampa and Boston, but Toronto's a good team. But at least after 22 games, the Baltimore Orioles in first place, they're 14-8. Yesterday, they beat the Athletics 5-2. They're down 2-0. They get 5 in the bottom of the ninth, highlighted by Wilson Betemit's 3-run homer. That wins the game. Betemit with his third of the year. Strop gets the win in relief. He's 3-1. Balfour takes the loss. He's 0-1. Smith hit his second of the year for Oakland, but it was Wilson Betemit who hits a 3-run homer in the bottom of the ninth to cap a 5-inning rally. Orioles 5. First place Orioles 5. Athletics 2. Orioles 14-8. Athletics drop to 11-12. The Angels, their woes continue. They go out to Cleveland to play the Indians, and they get shut out. Lowe's been unbelievable for Cleveland. He's 4-1 now. Santana, Irvin Santana for the Angels, drops to 0-5. The Angels drop to 7-15. The Angels manage only 3 hits. Albert Pujols in Never Never Land. He's got no home runs and 88 at-bats this year. And, you know, people are saying, oh, I guarantee that Pujols will hit a home run this year like Curt Schilling on ESPN. But, you know, that's ridiculous. That's not the question. The question is he going to go 30-100? Is he going to have this much trouble in the American League, a new league, for the whole year? You know, those are the real questions. For Cleveland, is Drubal Cabrera with a 2-run double that Torrey Hunter lost in the Sun. That was the big hit. I put hit in quotes, but he did lose it in the Sun. Cleveland 4, Angels nothing. Cleveland 11-9, Angels 7-15. A few other games. Tampa Bay, another team now tied for first with the Orioles. I shouldn't just say the first place Orioles. They're tied with Tampa Bay at 14-8. They beat the best record, Texas Rangers, 5-2. Ben Zobrist with a double and an RBI. Josh Hamilton had an RBI single, but he hurt his back for Texas and had to come out of the game. David Price, a star pitcher, gets the win. He's 4-1. Holland takes the loss. He's 2-2. Rodney gets his 7th save of the year for the Rays. Rays 14-8, 5. Rangers 16-6, 2. The Yankees beat the Tigers to take 2 out of 3 from the Tigers over the weekend. Yankees 6, Tigers 2. Yankees are 12-9, so they're behind both the Orioles and the Rays. Tigers drop to 11-11. CC Sabathia gets the win. He's 3-0. Max Scherzer takes the loss. He's 1-3. Grandison hits his eighth home run of the year. Andrew Jones hits his third for the Yankees. Fielder hits a moonshot off of Sabathia, lefty against lefty, for his third of the year, but it's not enough. Tigers only get 4 hits. Yankees 6. They're now 12-9. Tigers 2. They're now 11-11. A couple of other games in the American League to go through quickly. Blue Jays, they're 12-10 now. 7. Mariners 2. Alvarez gets the win. He's 1-2. Vargas takes the loss. He's 3-2. Figgins hits his second of the year, as does Olivo for Seattle. Encarnacion hits his 7th of the year for the Blue Jays. He's off to a great start, obviously. Mathis with his 2nd of the year. The Twins, 2 pretty bad teams. The Twins beat the Royals 7-4. They're both now 6-15. Marquis gets the win. He's 2-0. Chen takes the loss. He's 0-3. Moustakas of Kansas City hits his 3rd home run of the year. The Red Sox have their 6-game winning streak snapped. They lose to the White Sox 4-1. Floyd gets the win. He's 2-3. Beckett takes the loss. He's 2-3. Thornton gets his first save of the year. Dunn hits his 5th home run of the year for the White Sox. The White Sox 11-11. The Red Sox 10-11 in last place in the AL East. But again, they were, 4-10. Now they're 10-11. So they did have a very good road trip. Bobby Valentine, I guess, got his team out of Boston, where they proceeded to win 6 games in a row on the road before losing to the White Sox yesterday. White Sox 4, Red Sox 1. Over in the National League, to me, the Mets are doing it. I watch virtually every Met game. The Mets, obviously, I'm in New York. The Mets beat the Colorado Rockies. They score 1 in the 10th to go ahead of Colorado, and then 1 in the 11th. Colorado ties it up in the bottom of the 10th, then 1 in the 11th to beat Colorado on the road 6-5 and take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies. Now, Santana pitched great again. Santana has not won a game for the Mets. He's had 4 fantastic starts, and by fantastic starts, I don't mean these quality starts, 3 earned runs in 6 innings. I mean 2 starts where he's given up no earned runs, like yesterday, and 2 starts where he's given up 1 earned run, yet he doesn't have a win. Yesterday, he leaves with a 4-0 lead, and then in the bottom of the 8th inning, Todd Helton hits a pinch hit grand slam home run to tie the game up at 4. The Mets take a lead 5-4 in the 10th on a Kirk Nieuwenhuis double. Nieuwenhuis, the young center fielder, playing very well for the Mets. They go up 5-4, but in the bottom of the 10th, Carlos Gonzalez hits his 4th home run of the year to tie up the game at 5. And then in the bottom of the 11th, Ike Davis, who's had a lot of trouble, everybody's feeding him a steady diet of breaking balls. He's had a lot of trouble this year, but he goes the other way, singles to left to drive in the Mets' 6th run. That proves to be the winning run. Francisco, and I hate this rule, but Francisco, the Mets closer, who gave up the game-tying home run to Carlos Gonzalez in the bottom of the 10th, actually gets the win. Ramirez gets the save. Belial takes the loss. He's 1-2. Francisco with the win. He's 1-1. Josh Tolley hits his first of the year for the Mets. And as we discussed, Gonzalez and Todd Helton both hit their 4th of the year. Helton's a grand slam for the Rockies, but it's not enough. The Mets move up to 13-9. Give them credit. And the Rockies drop to 10-11. A few other interesting games. Nationals on the road in first place in the NL East. They go on the road. They lose to the Dodgers. Gio Gonzalez pitches well, but not well enough. Chris Capuano over from the Mets to the Dodgers. 6 2/3 innings, no runs, 9 strikeouts. James Loney with 2 RBIs on a base hit. A good win for the Dodgers. The Dodgers now 16-6. The Nationals now 14-8. Dodgers 2. Nationals nothing. Capuano gets the win. He's 3-0. You think the Mets could use him? Gonzalez takes the loss. He's 2-1. Jansen gets his second save of the year for the Dodgers. The Giants beat the Padres 4-1. Bumgarner moves to 4-1. Richard drops to 1-3. Casilla gets his 4th save of the year. Sandoval, who started off unbelievable for the Giants, gets his fourth home run of the year. The Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2. Greinke gets the win. He's 3-1. Garcia takes the loss. He's 2-1. Axford gets his fifth save of the year. The Braves beat the Pirates. The Braves move to 14-8, so they're a factor now in the NL East. Hudson gets the win, his first of the year, 1-0. Correa takes the loss. He's 1-1. Craig Kimbrell with his eighth save of the year already. Martin Prado gets his second home run of the year for Atlanta. The Cubs beat the Phillies 5-1. The Phillies drop to 10-12 again. Still don't have a right side of their infield. They're going to have their problems. The Cubs move to 8-14. The Phillies drop to 10-12. Cubs 5, Phillies 1. Garza gets the win. He's 2-1. Always dangerous, Matt Garza. Kendrick takes the loss. He's 0-2. Mather hits a home run his first of the year for the Cubs. The Reds beat the Astros 6-5. Andrasek gets the win. He's 1-0. Rodriguez takes the loss. He's 0-3. Marshall gets his fifth save of the year. Joey Votto hits a home run, his second of the year, and Bruce hits his seventh of the year. Lowry hits his second for Houston. Downs his first for Houston. Reds 6. They move to 11-11. Astros 5. They drop to 8-14. And finally, the Diamondbacks beat the Marlins. They get 2 in the 5th, 5 in the 6th. They beat the Marlins 8-4. Miley gets the win. He's 3-0. Josh Johnson takes the loss. He's 0-3. Stanton finally hits his first home run of the year for Miami, who are having their problems. Miami 8-13. The Diamondbacks 11-11. Want to get quickly to the TV tonight. I did talk briefly about that Manchester United, Manchester City game. That's at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN2. Again, if you don't watch soccer and want to watch a very meaningful, very important, maybe again the most important regular season soccer game, Manchester United at Manchester City, English Premier League, 2:30 Eastern. That's on ESPN2. But the NBA playoffs, a doubleheader tonight. The NHL playoffs, a doubleheader tonight. In the NBA, Knicks at Heat, Game 2. That's the first half of the TNT doubleheader, 7 o'clock Eastern. And then following that, approximately 9:30 Eastern, the Mavericks at the Thunder. That's also TNT, scheduled for 9:30 Eastern. We'll probably tip off, you know, after the Knicks game ends. But the Heat up 1-0, still at home. The Thunder barely beat the Mavericks on that last second-and-a-half shot by Kevin Durant that bounces in with 1.5 seconds left. They're both trying to protect home court. Again, Knicks don't have Iman Shumpert. Not that they were going to beat the Heat anyway, but Shumpert, a very good defender. That's the TNT doubleheader. Knicks at Heat at 7, Mavericks at Thunder at 9:30. NHL also with a doubleheader tonight. Capitals at the Rangers. Game 2 at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers up 1-0, 7:30 Eastern. That's on the NBC Sports Channel, formerly known as Versus. Kings at Blues. That's on CNBC. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. Again, the Kings, the number eight seed, I'm sorry, who shocked Vancouver in the first round, now trying to shock the Blues in the second round. They stole home ice advantage from the Blues by winning Game 1 in St. Louis. They play again tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, on CNBC. A few baseball games. If you get the YES Network, Orioles at the Yankees, 7 o'clock Eastern. The ESPN game, the Rangers at the Blue Jays. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Mets at Astros, 8 o'clock Eastern. That's on SNY, also a national station. Those are your baseball games for tonight. But obviously this week is going to be an NBA, NHL playoffs week. We'll do a little derby later in the week, the Kentucky Derby, obviously, the Saturday, first Saturday in May. That should be an exciting race as well. But we'll, as we get closer to Saturday, we'll do that as well. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at Sports Talk Network. .com.